here we are, and she just loves to get close to me. Amen. That marriage conference really did us some good. I did got to tell you that for those of you who was there, there was a time where Pastor Regina had to be in the back, and the man was telling a story about a couple who was struggling around, and so the wife, even though she didn't like hunting at all, went hunting with her husband, and it just got them going and sparked their marriage. And they were saying, you should ask the question if you're still having fun in your marriage. And so I was thinking, I was being real strategic, and I asked Pastor Regina, I said, hey, honey, are we still having fun in our marriage? And she said, yeah, I'm texting her, and I think I'm going to get her to answer yes, and then I'm going to ask the question. And she said, yes, honey, we're still having fun, but I'm not going hunting with you. So she was ahead of me, as always, amen. But we did have a good time at the conference, so thanks all of you who could be there. And in the meantime, I thank God that we get to be here today, amen. I tell you what, I get refreshed and stirred up when I see you come through that door, because I tell you what, you build my faith. When I see you and I know that you are overcoming and holding fast to your profession of faith and keeping your relationship with God in the middle of everything that's going on, I'm telling you, you encourage my faith. So I just thank God for each and every one of you. I thank you for being here. And let's just worship the Lord. Amen? Because he is faithful. Praise God.
Amen. We'll stand your feet with us this morning.
See ya. Hey, you're getting a hug. Good to see you.
Faithfulness before me, before me.
This morning, a grateful heart.
your faithfulness before me, before me. Thank you.
you have brought me out of darkness and overwhelming joy and just appreciation hit my heart, Lord God, to know that you would take somebody who meant nothing in this world, didn't mean anything to herself, and you put a value on me. You put your son's life to the value of me. Lord, I thank you that whoever is lost and broken out here today that doesn't know hope, doesn't know Jesus, would understand the value you have placed on them, would understand how much you love them, how you've lifted us out of that pit. When we sing about dead bones singing again, that's me. I was dead. Lord, I thank you that dead bones here singing today. That if you're watching online and you say, that's me, I'm dead, God's going to breathe life to you. Jesus. Listen, it's nothing else but Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the doorway. There's no other way. If there's another way, we've all tried it. We've tried to drown our heartache in alcohol, drugs, people, jobs. And it didn't work. It left us broken, lost, and longing for something that we just felt dead. And Jesus came in and filled that. Amen? He brought peace. He brought life. He breaks the yokes of bondage, the disappointments that you've had. He'll break those off. Does it all happen at once? Nope. It's a journey. We get a journey with him. There's still things today he's working on me on. Obviously, I'm crying in front of a group of people again. And I am the least emotional person you know outside of this right here. Well, maybe Amanda too. We got a tie here, I think, going on. But I'm just saying, God will bring you to a place that you never thought possible because you've only looked at yourself to get there. Amen? The door is Jesus. Believe in your heart that he rose again and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's your answer. Amen?
Inside of my
it this morning. And we are His portion, and He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sing, He loves me. And He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, come on again. Let's sing that again. Get that in your spirit this morning. His love for you is so great. He loves me.
He first loved us. He loves you so much this morning. There's somebody in here that you don't understand how God can love you because of what you've done. But let me tell you, I promise, God loves you. And if it was just for you, He would have still gone to the cross. He loves you so much. And just as He says that we need to be like kids, and they sing that Jesus loves me, this I know. This morning it's your turn. Get that in your spirit, how much He loves you. He loves you. So let's sing that again. He loves me. I don't want you to mean me, you.
He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me.
Now I want you to take a few minutes. Tell Him how much you love Him.
red running through them. Some of the kids are about to get a little bit of a preview, but I'm teaching one of the classes today, and the story for today is the lost sheep. And we started out with a song that talked about being lost, and then went into one that the first line of it was about us searching, but later in the song it talks about how there's no place we can go that God's mercy and grace won't find us, indicating that he is searching for us. And then these last two songs talk about that love for us. And in thinking of the story of the lost sheep, I've often thought about how unusual it was for a shepherd to leave all those sheep behind unprotected to go after one. But as I got to think about it, I realized a shepherd isn't a shepherd without his flock. So what he was saying is he would leave everything behind to go after one, and he did when he left heaven. And that story to me, when I think of it that way, is telling me he would have left heaven even if it was just for one person, if it was just for me, if it was just for you. It would only take one, and he would have done it again.
With God in my seat for these last two songs, because there's a heaviness on my chest right now, and God has a message for you. There were pages written in your book of your life that other people wrote for you that were never meant to be written. Things were done to you that were not supposed to be done, and you have potentially never spoken them to anyone. God wants you to know that these are absolutely none of your fault, and that when you're ready to talk about it, he is here. You can tell him anything, and it will never go any further. And you can cry out to him. That person wrote pages in your book. It's important for you to hear that. That person wrote pages in your book that were never meant to be written. But the Bible says that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And He can take those ashes and turn them to beauty. But you have to give Him the ashes. And it's safe to do that whenever you're ready.
We're just going to wait for a second. We're just going to stay right here. Listen, food will be there when you get there. Ain't nothing going to be lost to you to sit and wait on the Lord for a few minutes. Amen. We talked Sunday night about how God was healing the broken places, the places in your life that you've been disappointed or broken or hurt. And the word that have come forth this morning is just that. He just wants to heal you. Just wants to heal you. In your mind, it's bigger than the ocean. In His mind, it's who He is. Demons flee at the flicker of a finger from Him. Do you understand that? All He has to do is go like that. This is nothing to God. This is who He is. Healing, making new, making whole. It's who He is. It's not impossible to Him. Nothing's impossible to Him. You're looking at a room full of broken people. No, I take that back. You're looking at a room full of former broken people. You're looking at a room full of whole and healed people. And some of us are still on a track of being healed and being made who He needs. We all are, but we're healed. If you're online, I'm going to get my phone out in a little bit. You can private message the church. I'll see it. We'll pray for you. We'll reach out to you. If that's you, don't hesitate. Don't be by yourself. Listen, don't be by yourself. We have a pastor. Pastor Phyllis says, the banana that's peeled from the bunch, what's that saying? Is the one that's eaten first. The one that's separated from the pack. Amen? Is the one that's doomed to go. That's doomed in to be gone. So don't separate yourself. Don't try to do this alone. Listen, if it takes longer if you do. I testify. I'm a witness. I'm a stubborn one. No. I mean, listen, God loves you. This atmosphere's here for you. Listen, this atmosphere's here for you right now. He's still here. He's moving. He's touching. Somebody's getting it. I feel hope rising up. I feel hope rising up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay, hallelujah. This is too funny not to share.
Oh, stop.
This is too funny. Y'all, don't forget phone silence today. Smiley face. Thank you, Kyle. Good reminder.
That's hilarious. Amen.
We love our people.
Yes, we do.
Amen. We love the people that God has connected us with. Amen. I don't know how much. We had a good marriage seminar.
Yes,
over
we did.
The weekend.
Amen.
It was really, really good. Mm-hmm. If we have interest to rerun it for some people that weren't here the first time, maybe we can pick a Saturday and run through the thing again. But it would have to be enough interest to come here. So you would just have to let us know if you would like to, if you missed it. Mm-hmm. We can do that. It was really good. I got out of it what I get out of everything. And that is, be intentional about what you were doing. The question was asked, and I think Holly even may have put it out there. Excuse me. The question was asked, if you knew you only had 3 months left with the person that you are with,
what would you do? What would you wait on? What would that look like for you? And so the reality is that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. None of us.
Amen.
We are promised that if you're saved, you get to go to heaven and we live eternity with Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
But we're not promised tomorrow. Now, we believe he holds our every moment, and he protects us and he keeps us and he watches over us. We believe all of that. But be intentional about your love, about your words, mm-hmm. about your behavior, about your actions. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just for married people.
Amen. Praise God.
This isn't. This is for parents.
Yeah.
This is for children.
Yes.
Be intentional about what you're saying and what you're doing.
Amen.
The words you speak. The words you speak when you come home. Don't make your family pay for your bad day.
Amen.
Right? Isn't that something that was said?
Amen.
Amen. Don't make your family pay for your bad day. Bad days happen. Why should he have to pay for it? Because he's my safe place and I can yell at him and he's not leaving.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, I know that, but is it fair to him to make him pay for that?
No.
Some days, yes. Let me help you answer that. But no, it's not. It's never
praise
okay.
God,
it's never okay.
It's okay, baby.
You act like I do that.
No, you don't.
I think he just outed me in front of everybody, uncovered me big time. I do have my moments, and I have had my moments, especially when I didn't get to go to Aruba and I was upset.
Ooh. It wasn't.
There were 2 days I was like fighting anger.
It wasn't.
Why am I here? I think it was just hormonal.
Yeah.
But God is good. But be intentional about everything that you do. Everything that you speak over your kids, you call them a brat, you tell them they're a monster, you tell them you'll never amount to anything, what do you think is going to happen to your child?
Mm.
I don't care how bad they're being. They're only being as bad as you've let them be.
Praise God.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Y'all right? Are you okay out there?
Amen.
Listen, I got a mighty protector right here. Don't get too
amen,
mad at me.
Amen, amen, amen.
No, I'm just being real. Your children are a gift from God to you.
Yes.
Amen? Discipline is part of what he does to us as adults that are seeking after him, and discipline is what you should do to your children.
Amen. And you know, when the Lord is leading us, we are given his inspiration on how to do all those things. Amen?
Yes.
Because every child is a little bit different, but it's powerful because
yes.
when God gives us a wife or children, he also gives us a plan.
Yes.
And we have access to him and he will help us. Amen? But we got to be willing to do it his way.
I wish I knew now what I knew when Philip was growing up. Like, I failed so many times as a parent when Philip was growing up. I really did. I'm just going to put it out there and reveal my own self. There's so many things that was the way I was raised. And so I would just continue, right? And not that I wouldn't have disciplined him, I would have, because I still believe in that. I still believe children should listen. I still believe that. But I also believe that each child has an individual personality, and you can't treat every child the same because they don't receive the same. You got to learn your kids and know that I can yell at one of them and with the voice of saying, stop doing that now. And give them a look and know they're going to start crying just because of how sensitive they are. And that's enough. Or I might have to do more.
Amen.
Which is what my mother had to do to me because that didn't work. I'm just saying. But
amen.
In wives and husbands, words that should never come out of your mouth, you're stupid. If you don't straighten up, I'm leaving. Divorce. This is too hard. Jesus went to the cross and hung on that tree.
Amen.
Got beaten, got thorns shoved on his head. There is nothing that's too hard for you to handle.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now.
Amen.
I'm just going to put this out there.
Prophesy over me, baby.
Listen, you married me. You have hard. Just be real. Just be real. I'm probably the toughest, hardest person to deal with at times, but no. I'm good. But we don't say you're stupid. We don't say words that'll hurt and just dig and just wound. We don't write pages in books for people that is harmful. That's a good word. We don't write pages that are harmful. Mm. Be intentional about your love. Mm. Be intentional about how you show your love. Be intentional about how you receive love and let praise them love God. On you too.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's about all I'll say about that.
Amen. Praise God.
We're going on vacation.
Woo! Okay, now remember, you guys got to pray for me this week. Ugh. You know, I got to do that test thing.
Chad, you weren't here.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd been so disappointed in your boy. I said, I'm sorry, but this is the funniest thing ever. He is a grown man. He's sitting in that seat, and that guy comes near him. He's not touching him. No lie. I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
It should be illegal for any other person.
And then he puts his hand up like, get it out. Get it out. Get it out.
That is my private territory here. I will touch my nose. Give it to me and let me do it. But whatever.
Who was here when Tim LeMaster was here?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So then some of you know reference to how somebody wants to preach and look like somebody else when they preach. Phil's going to keep his clothes on. Amen? Amen, Chad.
That's right.
Love it.
Amen. Praise God. That's right.
We yelled at him for lusting after. He's not lusting after Chad.
But
he's just lusting after the body and hard work that Chad's put in to get that body. And he's not doing it. And so it was hilarious.
I said, do some
work, my friend. Poor Chad. He brought you up in front of everybody, said that, didn't he? And so then I'm reiterating it and letting everybody else know. Oh, it just was funny to me.
Praise God.
Listen, we laugh together. Mm-hmm. We love together. Amen. Yes. Mary Hart doeth good like a medicine.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we should be going on vacation next week. We'll be here Thursday, and I feel confident that we're going to come in and share our good report. Praise God.
Amen.
And then we'll be able to
fly out on Saturday.
Out of the cold for a little while.
So Amen. Pastor Nicole Waters, who wasn't able to come with you the last time we were supposed to leave because she was around me and had to get a test, she will be here with you if we leave.
Yeah. When we
We leave. Amen. She'll be here with you next Sunday. She's an amazing teacher of the word. The way she brings it forth, there's just a different dynamic of how she brings it forth, and she gives you illustrations that just brings it to your front door. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So she'll be with you. And then we have Pastor Kylan from our Urbana campus is going to come over with you on Thursday. We got some good lineup for y'all. These people are some amazing teachers and preachers of the word. And then the following Thursday, since Pastor Joe Turner from Cary, Ohio, didn't get to come over here, when we were here, he's coming over and going to do that message. And then, I don't know. That's all I got.
Amen. That's all you need for right now.
Okay, amen. Amen.
Praise God. Okay, we better let the children go to children's church. They've been anxiously anticipating their departure, praise God. So we're going to let them have that and get into their class today. And then I'm going to teach just for a minute, real quick here, the book of Psalms, chapter 41. It just says this, and I want to reference this in terms of seeds, because we understand that we tithe, which is our 10% commitment that we give the Lord, but we also understand that we get to sow beyond our tithe, and that can be giving in many different ways. And right here it says this: blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Isn't it amazing that sometimes because we see one-dimensionally, that when it comes to tithing and offering, sometimes we see dimensionally in terms of, hey, I'm going to sow and believe God that he's going to return money to me, and he will do that. But sometimes we sow and believe that God's limited in what he can touch. Well, maybe he'll bless me financially, this, that, and the other. But here we see that the Lord says, because this person took care of the poor, that when they were on their bed of affliction from sickness, he healed them and raised them up. And I will tell you that sometimes you just don't know that your seed covers a lot more territory than just your finances. Remember, the Lord says that I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. The Lord says that he will open the windows of our behalf, okay? So I want you to know that when we live a life of sowing, not just money, but mercy and grace and kindness. And I also want you to know that sometimes if you buy someone's meal or if you found out someone was in need and you went and took them food or you paid someone's bill or you buy somebody something like gas or any of those things, I want you to know that those are seeds that you are releasing to return something to you. One time, I will never forget that this was way back right after my college days, I was traveling home to see my mother. And I will never forget that I was driving down the road and there was a lady stranded on the side of the road. And I thought, ooh, I'm not stopping to help that lady. Someone else can do it. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, Philip, he says, I want you to do it for your sister's sake. And I thought, what in the world? And so I stopped and I helped this lady, and she had a flat tire, and she also had two little babies with her. They were cute as a button. But anyhow, I took that tire, and I had to go in, and she didn't have a spare, so I took the time to take it in and get it fixed and brought it back and put it on that car, and she was just so thankful, and then I gave her a little money for gas and all that, and I was driving away, and the Lord said, see, Philip, he said, you just sowed into your sister's future that if they're ever stranded or they ever are in need, that a good person would come along and they would be safe and protected. And so I want you to know that oftentimes we don't think as deep as God thinks when it comes to sowing. Amen? I want you to remind yourself that in the Bible, there was a man by the name of Abraham, right? And it says that Levi, who was a descendant of Abraham, paid tithes when he was yet in Abraham's loins. How in the world does that work? What you don't realize is that right now, you being a faithful tither puts a grace upon your children's life and your grandchildren's life and your great-grandchildren's life where God will be able to open up and move on their behalf even if they don't serve him right away. Remember what happened when the Lord came to rescue people out of the book of Genesis, when he first came in Exodus to rescue people out of Egypt? He didn't say, hey, I've just heard my people's cry, even though he did say that. He said, out of my covenant for their forefathers, I've heard from heaven and heard their cries, and now I come down. Remember when the prodigal son was running wild? It was the faithfulness of his father that brought grace upon him to come to himself and return to God. Amen? So I just want you to be reminded of that, that when you're sowing, you have no idea the breadth of what God is handling on your behalf. So let's be faithful in what we do. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray over your tithes and offerings, and we're going to bring them to the front. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your goodness and your grace and your mercy upon this day, Father. Lord, we just bless you with our worship today through tithing and offering. And God, the Bible says that it's better to give than to receive. But Lord, with you, we can never deny the fact that you said, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Father. You'll put favor upon our life. You'll put healing, health, mercy, and grace upon us, Father. And Lord, the Bible declares that our every need would be met, Father. Lord, David declared, I have been young and now I'm older, and never have I seen the seed of God or the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front.
do have a couple of announcements really quick. We are in need of greeters.
Oh, yeah.
To help greet. So Marie and Jamie, that's Marie and Jamie. If you would like to help greet, and we need you to help greet, we want people when they walk in this church to feel welcome. Amen. We want them to know that we're here, we love them, and they do. The greeters do an amazing job. They just need more. Amen. So please come help us out. If you say, I've been wanting to do something, that's a good place to go. Amen. And then there seemed to be one more announcement. Yes, if you were planning on coming to the Next Step class this Saturday, the new member class, we are not doing that because we're going. We're leaving for vacation. And if he tests positive, we can't do it anyway because I'm going to hurt him if he cancels my next vacation too, okay?
Praise God.
I think that's it. I'm just kidding, people. I'm not going to hurt him. You see how big he is? I just have in my brain that I can take him.
Oh, I was about to say.
Like, I think I can take him.
My size has never stopped her from thinking.
It's truth. It's truth. I think I can take anybody until I'm beat up. Exactly. I'm telling you, I never. That's a bold dog. Amen?
Amen.
I think that's all. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we did announce that because we do need him.
You're fine, babe. You're standing next to me, so you know I'm happy.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm going to preach to you a message today, and it's going to be interesting because for those of you who were at the conference, the man said something profound that just stirred my heart right away because he said this statement. He said, if you make God the foundation of your marriage, you have 100% chance of success. Wasn't that powerful? But what was exciting to me was that all week long I wrote down something and I said, hey, if we make the Lord our foundation, we are going to be absolutely successful at life, period. And what I was thinking about is that sometimes we go through disappointments and hardships in this life that don't always end up the way we want to see them end up. But the Bible says, never let the afflictions or the disappointments of this life ever separate you from the glory that is set before us. Amen? And what that means is that God will bless us 100% in this life that we live, but also we should never, ever let anything overtake us to the point that we don't hold on to our faith and get the eternal reward of one day when we step out of this life. Life doesn't come to an end. It actually expands. Woo! Praise God. I want you to know something, that your best times, your most happiest times, your most faith-filled times, when you have felt God more than you've ever felt him, I will tell you that there's a few times where I've had experiences with God where I said, man, Lord, I will never have to use my faith again. This is so powerful. But what I want you to know is that when we consider the things of God, I really want to speak this into us today, that no matter what happens in life, if you get victories or if you have some difficulties and failures, because things are going to come upon every one of us, at some point, something's going to hit your life, even as a Christian, that is going to rock our boat. But no matter what goes on, I really want us to make a commitment in our spirit that we are never going to let hold of our faith. We're never going to back up from believing, because when this course is finished, I'm telling you, we want to spend eternity in the Lord. Amen? So with that being said, my statement that I wanted to start out with is that we're going to talk about the Father today, and we're going to talk about the Lord, and we're going to talk about seeking him. But before we do that, I just want to say that some of us may have had great fathers. And some of us may have had great fathers that were examples of faith and did things right. But some of us may not have. But I pray this morning that you do have some experiences in your life where there was a father figure who reflected to you goodness. It may not have been our biological father. It might not have even been an uncle or a grandfather, but just someone in your life, I pray, that has come along and at some point reflected the Lord to you in such a way that it left a positive imprint on you. And the reason I want you to get that picture in your heart is because this is what I want you to understand, that if you have ever had someone, a father figure that was kind to you and it did something to help your life and it did something to where even today you can remember what was said or what was done and think how kind that was or that it was a nice act. And I want you to understand something, that you can take that best experience and I want you to know that you could magnify it 1,000 times over and not yet discover or understand the goodness of God. And I'm saying that to you for this reason, because if we are really going to progress forward to where God wants us to be, we can never hold him accountable to the negative experiences in our life. I want you to know that when it comes to abuse, when it comes to mistreatment, when it comes to lies and degradation of our life, and when it comes to whether that's physical abuse, emotional abuse, or wrong sexual abuse, or anything that has happened in the life of people, whether it's verbal abuse and just degrading things that have been said or done to us and done in a way, there's one thing about disciplining a child, and then there's that thing where we can go overboard or get out of kilter with our discipline. And no matter what those experiences that we may have had today, I just want to clear the table to say nothing like that is ever going to happen by God or from God in your life. See, I want to clear the table today because sometimes if we're not careful, we can start to get in our spirit this thought that, well, it's not happening. Maybe I'm always going to be this way, or maybe God can't do it for me, or maybe I'm just always going to have this and that in my life. And I want to clear the table of that because I want you to know something. There is no limit to what God can do in our life if we truly seek him and give him room to bring us an answer. You know, even that word we got this morning about maybe having some things in our life that we have never discussed or never even taken to God himself because of our fears or because of what a bad experience that was. I want you to know something. Take your deepest places to God because he will heal, set free, and bring us through. Amen? So I just want to speak on a few things this morning because we're going to go straight to a really good scripture, and I want it to show us some things, and then we're going to fill in some things and look at a couple life experiences from the Bible that are powerful. Does that sound okay? Good, because it's all I got. Hallelujah. I want to go right to Acts chapter 17, and I want to read something to you, and I'm going to read more as opposed to less, just because this is such a good scripture. It says in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. See, I love this because what I want you to realize is that because God is the God of heaven and earth, if you know anything about authority, the higher authority always rules, right? Amen. It's one thing for me to be dealt with by my parents. It's another thing for me to have to be dealt with by the police. Amen. And unfortunately, when it comes to things of the law, my mom and dad can cry all the tears they want to. If I break the law, I have to submit to the greater authority in the police, right? So one thing I love about these scriptures that sometimes we don't talk enough about is that when the Bible says that he is the God of heaven and earth, what I get so excited about is that God has the right, the authority, the ability, and the desire to override every law of the earth in your life and replace it with his. Amen. Woo! Praise God. And I want you to know something, that when it comes to our life, when it comes to what we receive and what we see, I want you to know that God wants you to receive it from the higher authority and the higher kingdom. Does he make you wait to come to heaven to call you a citizen? No. When you get saved, he says, you are now a citizen of the kingdom of my dear son. The Bible doesn't say, hey, let's wait to heaven and we will see the will of God. God says, no, 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 let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want you to know something. God wants you to have supernatural outcomes in your life. The Bible says right here that he's the God, the Lord of heaven and the earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Praise God. Now, I want you to know something, that that doesn't mean that we shouldn't make church buildings and have these churches where we come to the worship God, because his presence overfloods the church. Amen? He even told you in the Bible that, hey, when you build me a house in my name, my presence will be there. But what he's saying is the greater temple that he dwells in and loves and regards over anything else is you. And it says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Now, I really want to speak to this just for a few minutes, because I want to deal with this where it says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. You know, if we're not careful when we read that scripture, we might mistakenly think that this scripture is saying that our experience with God is a happenstance, maybe or maybe not. If we're not careful, just because we read this scripture and it says that they might find him, we act as though that might mean that I can't hear God, I can't know God, and God won't speak to me. And that is a total misinterpretation of this scripture. I want you to know that when you deal with that word happily as it's used here, it means perhaps. It means like almost in a joking way, like perhaps. Like, here's how clear this is. I want you to understand something. It's like if I was hungry and I was in the house and I was saying, Regina, I'm hungry. She might say, perhaps you need to go to the refrigerator and open the door. And why would she say that? Because if I just go to the refrigerator and open the door, I don't need to whine and cry. I can find food there because I know it's there. Amen? Or like you're driving down the road and you're getting down to where your light comes on your gas station, and someone would say, happily, you may want to pull into the gas station and perhaps we'd find fuel to put into our car. What I want you to know is that this scripture is not saying to you, happily, you might find him, like it's going to be impossible. It's saying, hello, if you would just give any effort at all, you might be surprised at just how much God will come into your life and work on your behalf. Hello, if you would just give any effort at all, you might be just surprised at how quickly God can turn something, heal something, and help you in life. See, I want you to know something. God is disappointed when you don't seek him. We don't want to disappoint the Lord, do we? I want to remind you of another scripture that is so similar to this. I just want to share it with you real quick. And we're going to go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. And boy, I like this Matthew chapter 7 because it's making lots of acclamations and things that are in there that are good. But it says this in verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Does it say that there's a chance it might be given to you? Does it say, well, if you're lucky, you might? No, no, no. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I want you to know something. That when a parent loves their child, especially that newborn now, when he gets to be 2 or 3, you might let him cry a little bit, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, or if your baby is not where you see him and they start to cry, buddy, there's an urgency where you want to run in there and see what's happening. And there's a love nature and there's a mode that comes upon us that causes us to really drop everything. We'll drop anything to go see what's going on with our child. And I want you to know something, that the Bible says that we're just natural people who have a love for our children like that. Even the natural unsaved person can have a love for their child like that. It says, how much more so does your Father in heaven? See, sometimes we minimize ourselves and we minimize God by not believing how fully committed he is and how desirous he is to touch our lives and to make things happen according to his will and his purpose. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. I want us to understand something. There's no question here. There's no gray area here. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knock it shall be opened. I want you to understand something. That there is something that must happen for us in terms of seeking God. And I want you to know that seeking God must be something that is profoundly reverent in our lives and something that we are completely aware of. And I want you to know something, that we shouldn't just be seeking God when everything is perfect. Sometimes when we come out of bad situations and situations where we've been in pursuit of other things, I'm telling you, the most important thing we can do is begin to seek God. And there's a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 4 where some people were off after other gods and all this. And in verse 29 it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. I want us to understand something. That one of the things that is most critical and is the most critical process of us being changed from glory to glory and us experiencing God is that when we seek him, we must trust him. When we seek God, there has to be nothing that we're afraid to reveal or share with him, and there is nothing that we will have to be willing to lay down our way and our belief system to receive his belief system. Amen? Woo! Well, that didn't get all the shouts I thought it would. But anyhow, we're going to look at Jeremiah 29:11, and I want to read through 13 because it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, I want you to know something. If every thought God has toward you is a thought of peace and good and not of evil, then why are you still regarding the evil things people have said to you with so much value? I don't care if it came from people you trust or people who were that father figure to you. If you have had negative, evil words spoken to you in your life, it is time for us to disregard them, because God says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, good thoughts and not of evil, to bring you to an expected outcome. Amen? I also want you to see what it says here. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Well, Pastor Phil, how do I search with God with all my heart? Make sure that when you hear his word, you're willing to receive it over any other thing you've heard. Make sure you're really to receive it over any other thought you had, even if it was a thought from your own self about yourself. Well, you don't know. I've always been a liar. Stop. Well, you don't know. I've done this. I've done that. Stop. I'm not interested in what you've done and what you have been. I'm interested in you discovering who you've always been. You just didn't know it. Woo! See, I want you to understand something, that life experience and other people and even ourselves sometimes can walk away where God was not even with us on the journey. We were living on our own, doing it our own way, and as a result, we had experiences that reflect things about ourselves, but they're not really the truth of who we are when we get the revelation of who God says we are. Amen? And so we have got to make certain that when we seek God, there is no limits to what we will just give to him. I mean, when he says that we are a peculiar people and a royal priesthood, doesn't really matter if we feel that way about ourselves. It's time for us to accept his identity for it. When it says that we are beloved and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, it doesn't matter if up until the time we read that scripture, that's not the thought we had about ourselves. It's who we are now. I mean, the first time I read the scripture that says that because of the fruits of the Spirit was coming into our life, that we were now kind, gentle, long-suffering, I thought, that ain't ever been. But all of a sudden, I had to say, whoa, wait a minute. Up until now, I've lived down to my own power, my own authority, my own understanding. But if God says something, it's time for me to accept what he has to say. Amen? I want to remind you that in order for us to truly seek the Lord, and in order for us to truly discover what God has to say about us, first of all, I want you to know that Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Do we love God today? Woo! The very fact that you say you love God, guess what that means for you? God loves you. Woo! But of course,